With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, if you live in an apartment, as many people do, you might feel that owning a pet is completely out of the question. But that's not the case, according to two experts I have with me now, Caroline and Tanya from the DSPCA. Caroline is a small and exotic animals manager, and Tanya is the head of dog operations. They're here now to talk about pets in apartment. Gals, you're very welcome along to the show.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are obviously like dog and small animal obsessed across 2FM anyway, if you've ever listened to any of the shows. Yeah, I know you guys are absolutely into it. But Caroline, I'm going to start with you because you look after small pets. What are we talking about when we say small animals?
Well, I suppose in the capacity of the DSPCA, it's rabbits, guinea pigs, reptiles, birds, and they'd be the main ones, yeah. Really, and any small rodents like gerbils, rats, hamsters. Like that.
All pets as well that like people have had growing up to.
Yeah, it's a huge kind of umbrella. Yeah.
You say that pets are a privilege, not a right. And firmly believe that, and I fully agree with you on that as well. But yeah. Just explain to people a little bit more about that.
I suppose it's from our point of view, like it's having a pet is not about something that you should have just for the sake of entertainment or just for the sake of wanting to please a member of the family. Like a pet is something that to the animal, you are their whole world, yeah. And you are their whole environment, and so your whole life, their whole life depends on how you treat them. And so having a pet is a privilege to have and not a right to have, because you need to, if you're going to have a pet, you should have a pet that's going to have its whole life enriched and is going, yeah, to live its best life with you. And it's kind of, we get a lot of, you know, people that want to get pets for their kids or want to get pets to show or like a starter pet and things like that, like especially when it comes to guinea pigs and rabbits, yeah. And like people think, you know, oh, like a rabbit is a good starter pet and et cetera, or a goldfish or something. And it's just not the case. Like these animals, they might not show emotion as much as a cat or a dog, like, mm-hmm, typically, but it doesn't mean they're not any less sentient and aware of what's going on.
It's not a rite of passage. Like, I know exactly what you mean. It's like, you should want a pet because it's going to be another member of your family.
Yeah, and you can give that pet everything that it needs.
Yeah, I read something before, and I know it was like, it goes around all the time, especially around Christmas time, is, mm-hmm, like, you know, an animal, it might be a small part of your world, but you are its entire,
exactly,
world.
Exactly.
Yeah, of all time.
Yeah.
Let's look at the two most common small animals that you deal with in your, mm-hmm, job at the DSPCA. Rabbits and guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Let's start with the rabbits. What do you need to consider if you are getting a rabbit?
I suppose rabbits are, I often say they're similar to kind of having a house dog. They're very, very social,
yeah,
and they love to be around their person. They do bond with specific people. Again, the behaviour is different than a cat or a dog, mm-hmm, like in terms of how they show like emotion and how they show love for their owner, but they certainly are capable of it. Rabbits are quite social with not only people but other rabbits as well,
yeah.
So if you are, say, working full time and you don't have the time for like a dog that needs kind of somebody in the apartment all the time, mm-hmm, a rabbit or getting two rabbits is ideal, because rabbits love other rabbits,
okay.
Especially like, I mean, you have to bond them and that's a whole process in itself, but if you've two rabbits and you work full time, that's absolutely fine to have them living together, because they'll be happy, they'll snooze kind of throughout the day, and then be all excited when you get home. So like rabbits are great like companion if you're living in an apartment. They don't necessarily need to be out in grass. There's actually grass you can buy that you can grow indoors that you can give them if you want to, and you can get little harnesses for them if they're very outgoing.
Rabbits
you
on harnesses.
And you can bring them for a walk. But I would only be certain rabbits that are quite confident and laid back. A lot of rabbits wouldn't cope kind of well with that. But
so an apartment is, yeah, a good environment for,
absolutely,
a rabbit. And
yeah,
you're probably better off getting two together and bonding them. Are,
yeah,
they kind of a bit like dogs? You know how like I always say, people are like, oh, like your dog doesn't like them. They don't have to like everybody. Like, do you,
yeah,
have to introduce them well together to bond them?
With other rabbits, yeah.
Yeah.
So we neuter all the rabbits here, and that really, really helps,
yeah,
with the bonding process. It is best to have a male and a female rabbit together, both neutered, and that's the best kind of chance of success, really. We do like adopt rabbits together that are already bonded in the shelter, but, okay, we also will help with a training program, like a bonding program, if people already have a rabbit at home, or if they want to adopt, some people want to adopt a rabbit and then in a couple of months they'll get a second rabbit.
Okay.
So we kind of, we have a whole process of helping people through that and telling them exactly what to do, like, and how to make sure it's a successful, because rabbits can be very picky about who they like.
I love it, and I kind of feel like every animal should be that way as yeah. well, like, you know, you got to keep their their feelings in consideration as well. We're talking about in apartments now, okay? They seem like a great pet for an apartment because they don't necessarily need to be out in long walks the whole time, they don't need an outside area. But what's the setup like for a rabbit in an apartment, or any place for that matter?
Yeah, like, ideally there are like enclosures you can get that, you know, we have to be kind of strict on what size they are, because there are some places that won't sell kind of the right size enclosures. But the best thing for them would be the likes of, you know, the metal kind of puppy playpens.
Yeah.
If you get one of them from like Amazon or a pet store or somewhere, and have that kind of in a corner of the house or wherever you can kind of shape it to fit in your house. And that gives them a nice big open space for when you're not around to supervise them. Mm-hmm. And you line it with, like, we recommend people get like bath mats for the floor instead of like wood chips and stuff, which are just going to carry around the whole house and you don't need them. A nice kind of few bath mats around the house that you can, if they do like pee on them or poo on them, you can take one up, wash it and replace it with another one. That's kind of the best for the indoor kind of situation.
And speaking of pee and poo there, like, if they are roaming around your house and you're training them, like, are they going out? They're going to poop everywhere, basically.
Rabbits, you can litter train them.
Okay, so kind of like a cat.
Yeah. So, it's quite a simple process. And rabbits do, like, being a prey animal, they do try to keep all of their kind of waste products, I suppose, in a certain area, because in the wild, if they poo everywhere, predators are going to know where they are.
Yeah.
So they do try to go in a certain place. So they are naturally more inclined. And as well, like, rabbits like to poop when they eat. So if you have it near their hay, which is kind of most of their diet, they're most likely going to poo. Like, so a lot of people will have a hay rack and then a litter tray underneath it. So the rabbit can sit in their litter tray while they eat.
What a life, honestly. It's very convenient. Okay, so that's the rabbit setup. Now let's talk about the guinea pigs. What do we need to know about guinea pigs? Are they the same? Do they get lonely? Do they need pairs? Do they have the same diet as a rabbit?
Yeah, like, guinea pigs are often, back in the day, like, you could keep rabbits and guinea pigs together and stuff, but that's an outdated kind of practice now. Like, guinea pigs are from a completely different part of the world. Mm-hmm. They're completely unrelated to rabbits, but they do have a very similar diet. There's a few little kind of minor, like, differences, but on the whole, the most of their diet's hay and another kind of vegetation. But with guinea pigs, it is essential that they have another guinea pig, at least one other guinea pig. The more, the merrier with guinea pigs. But they can actually get depression from being on their own, diagnosed depression. It's really sad. So they absolutely do need to have a friend. There's some people that keep 30 guinea pigs and they're just the happiest, like, just in their little gang.
I love the little noises
obviously
they
all
make.
Yeah, I know, they're so cute. But obviously all the same sex and stuff. Or some people will have like a neutered male and then load of females.
Okay.
Because obviously they can reproduce like really, really quickly.
Quickly.
For like a family setup, yeah, guinea pigs are lovely to have. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be as kind of, on the most part, like, I'm talking kind of generally, but they're not going to be kind of as emotionally available as a rabbit would be. Like, they're kind of more, they're much more kind of flighty than a rabbit would be. They're much more, I suppose, I don't know if this is true, but they seem like they're kind of less domesticated than a rabbit would be. They do certainly get to know their owners and know that you're not going to hurt them, and they'll come out to you and say hi and they'll sit on your lap and things like that. But if you're looking for something that's kind of more affectionate, more kind of a obvious personality, probably a rabbit is a better option.
And then for the likes of guinea pigs and rabbits, like regular vets, like your small vets, the ones that are, we've so many vets that listen into the show and are always texting in and calling in all the time, but can you just visit your regular vet with them?
You can, but I would recommend registering with an exotic vet that deals with, because rabbits and guinea pigs are classed as exotic animals. So registering them with an exotic vet would be my preference if possible, just because it is a whole different ballgame in terms of their digestive system and things like that. if you're with someone, if you go to a vet that's very experienced with that kind of stuff,
they'll know straight away.
It might be, just be an easier
instead of a guessing
process.
Game. It's always the hardest thing when you're bringing animals to the vet as well, because they can't tell you what's wrong with them, and you are trying to guess
through
it.
And with rabbits and guinea pigs, again, as their prey animals, they hide their pain and they hide what's really going on, because that would, you know, that's obvious to predators if they show that they're injured. And so they will hide it. And like if they have something like GI stasis where their digestive system stops working, it's a matter of hours that they'll just like.
So we need fast.
You need to get to the vet like immediately. So if you're kind of hemming and hawing about where to go to, or already have yourself registered with an
and
exotic
go to go.
Vet.
Yeah. I had a hamster before that ended up. We thought that he'd swallowed one of his toys because his two cheeks were filled up. So we brought him straight into the vets and everything. He just had burrowed food. It was the first time we'd ever seen it. But your man, in fairness, one was just like, "Well, like, fair play to you for even thinking of bringing him in." And I was like, "I thought he swallowed one of those little chew toys that I had." Tanya, we're going to talk about dogs now, right? Yeah. Because dogs in apartments, it's like we need to know kind of everything. I have a dog in an apartment that works for me, but it mightn't work for everybody. If people are living in an apartment and they want to get a dog, what do they need to think about?
Yeah, there is, like, every dog, in my opinion, can live in an apartment. Mm-hmm. I have a husky and I may as well be in an apartment. you know, and once you can give the dog the right amount of exercise and enrichment, mm-hmm. any dog has the ability or the potential to live in an apartment with the right owner. You know, really, dogs like small animals, everything about them does depend on the owner as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes, in fact, people who live in apartments actually make better dog parents than people who live in a house, because they make more effort to bring their dogs out and about. They bring them out for a small potter to go to the toilet. Mm. So, you know, if you're living in an apartment, you do need to consider, how much time do I have to bring this dog out? How active am I? Can I reach this dog's activity levels without having a garden? You know, is this a dog that can go off lead? Can I bring him out and let him off lead somewhere and throw a ball for them, or let them go and explore? And do I have the time to give this dog an enriching life in an apartment? You know, enrichment for dogs is so, so important, and cats and small animals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 15 minutes of enrichment can be almost as equal to a 45-minute walk, but it burns different energy for the dog. So it's taking all of these things into consideration and educating yourself on what kind of exercise you can give the dog. And then also how long you need to spend out of the house. Because obviously you don't want to be going to work on an 8-hour day plus a commute and leaving a dog locked up in an apartment. You know, because they will end up barking. They will end up being destructive because they're bored or they're anxious for being so long on their own. Mm. And you have to consider as well, if you're living in an apartment or even if you're in a house, but like, am I going to go for a drink after work?
Yeah.
Do I go straight home? But if you can commit to that, then I don't see why any breed can't live in an apartment. And what we generally recommend people do is, if you're in an apartment and you don't have an animal, you're going to need to alter your life in some way, shape or form mm-hmm. to fit the dog that you get. Make those changes before you adopt. See how feasible it is to actually get up and go for a walk 2 or 3 times a day. If you're working from home, that you go for a walk on your lunch break to bring the dog out for a pee break. That you make effort to come home after work because you need to get home to them. But do that for like a couple of weeks or a couple of months before you adopt, to know that you can commit to that long term for this dog when you get it.
It's getting yourself into the rhythm of it.
Yeah,
so that it's not a shock to the system when you do get this dog and you're suddenly, like, you know, one of your friends says, do you want to go for even a coffee after work? Like, if you work kind of early shifts and stuff and you go, yeah, I am going to go for a bite of lunch. You don't have that luxury anymore because you do have to get home to your dog.
You do.
The point you made there at the very beginning as well of like factoring in the time of bringing your dog out to the toilet. You don't have a back garden to just swing your door open and let them fly out and come back in again. That's a huge thing for us. In the morning, it's like, I need to be gone before you. So like, it's on you, because it does take, you know, the 5 minutes to harness them up, get them on the lead, bring them down, and they don't just go to the toilet.
No. I'm toilet training a dog at the moment, and like in the evening time I have to go outside with her. It's cold, you know, I gotta stand out there with her, I gotta wait until she goes to the toilet and be there to reward her. If you're in an apartment, you know, you gotta put your coat on,
yeah,
you're cozy watching telly, you gotta go down, you gotta hang around a little bit, wait for them to go,
sniff
and reward
everywhere
them. Yeah, and pick the place that they want to go. So yeah, it is a little bit more time consuming, and it is a little bit more commitment.
Yeah.
But like, if you're willing to commit to it, there's no reason why somebody can't have the luxury of having a dog in an apartment.
The you mentioned there as well about 2 or 3 walks a day. Like, is that the kind of structure that you're looking for a dog in an apartment, or any dog really for that matter? Is that 2 or 3 walks a day, or making sure that, again, before you get the dog, that you've sussed out, is there a dog walker in your area? Is there a doggy daycare? Is your dog going to be suited to go to these places?
Yeah, like 2 walks a day is ideal for every dog. But I mean, the dog's not only going to go to the toilet twice a day.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an area in an apartment that a dog can go to the toilet, you need to be committed to taking them out more than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have them on a toilet routine. And you're talking about maybe like 4 toilet breaks a day.
Well,
really,
think of how many times you pee a day.
Yeah. How much water do they drink? When do they eat? You know, so you do have to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
And most dogs are creatures of habit. They will get into a routine. You know, if you get up in the morning, go out at lunchtime, evening time, and then their long walk, that's generally enough. But it all has to be considered.
Yeah.
And the size of the dog and the age of the dog. If you're on top floor and you've got a puppy that you're toilet training,
up and down,
yeah, getting those steps in. So all of that does need to be taken into consideration time wise.
Yeah, and you will have accidents, and you're just going to have to stay going around that. And again, it's like finding your dog's personality. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes I find with the breed of the dog, it's all about what their personality is.
Yes,
like sometimes they might need to go to the toilet more than another dog will, and they might need more walks, or like one long walk or 2 short. I know if I brought my dog out for 2 short walks, he'd be like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Whereas he operates a lot better on one huge walk during the day. So like, but that's again on his personality, and you'll find that. Caroline Mothersill and Tanya Clark from the DSPCA, thank you so much for coming in with us today. And obviously people can check up the DSPCA online and call out to you guys and everything. But genuinely, thanks a million. We've learned
so much
today. With Laura Fox Podcast.